欢迎收听由劳动部劳动力发展署委托制播的菲律宾 Tagalog 语节目及广告宾至如归飞向马尼拉
Ang programang Feel at Home ka dito ay handog ng Ministry of Labor Workforce Development Agency at binuo ng Taiwan Broadcasting Company 宾至如归飞向马尼拉 Manila sa Taiwan Feel at Home ka
Mga kababayan, magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Ang pinapakinggan ho natin programa ngayon ay Feel at Home ka dito. Ako po si Kaibigan Jay. Alam nyo mga kababayan, itong ating 3 days na continuous holidays ay sineselebrate natin ngayon yung ating Labor Day. Wow! So, lahat po ng mga kababayan natin at yung mga nakikinig dito sa aming programa, Happy Labor Day!So we salute the hardworking of foreign workers in Taiwan. Itong pagkaka-describe namin na salute, talagang salute kami. Kasi alam kong lahat tayo dito sa Taiwan, pag once nag-work nga tayo, we are really working very hard. At syempre, hindi lang naman din para sa ating mga sarili nating family para kumita tayo. Pero kasi we are happy na nag-work dito sa Taiwan kasi nga bukod sa malaki ang sinasahod natin at napakaganda pa yung mga environment na nakikita natin, napapasyal natin, nakakain natin, lahat nandito sa Taiwan. Kaya talagang we are willing to work very hard in Taiwan. Masaya kasi syempre pag kayo'y merong ganyan environment na tinatrabahuhan natin. So itong ating programaalam ko yung iba dyan ay pumapasyal pa ngayon o kaya nasa ibang out of town. Pero kailangan pakinggan pa rin natin ng programa ngayon, no? Dahil marami kaming i-announce sa mga kababayan natin. Unang-una, alam nyo ba, pag halimbawa tayo ay pumupunta sa hospital, dahil siguro sa sitwasyon natin, na masakit ang tiyan natin, halimbawa for example, tapos kailangan natin maghintay, yung mga ganyan situation, siguro medyo pagkakaroot natin sa mga nursing o kaya sa mga front desk na tumutulong sa atin mag-register. Pero kasi, alam nyo ba, yung mga nasa hospital ay sila kailangan natin respetuhan. Dahil meron na kaming mga na-encounter, hindi lang siguro foreign workers, maski na local people, ay nangyayari dahil sa kakahintay nila, lumalabas tuloy ay rude na ang dating sa mga nurses natin. Kaya tandaan ho natin, no? Zero tolerance for violence in medical facilities. Respect medical staff, we need to respect the medical staff. Recently, there have been reports of healthcare workers being attacked, resulting in a nurse receiving a concussion.We strongly condemn all forms of violence against healthcare professionals. No one should use violence, threats, or other illegal means to interfere with the work of medical personnel. Anyone who violates this provision will be fined 30,000 to 50,000 NT dollar. If criminal liability is involved,Other legal action will be pursued. The government will strengthen measures to prevent violence in healthcare venues, ensuring frontline medical staff work in a safe environment and members of the public can seek out medical care with peace of mind. So itong pagkaka-announce namin ay kailangan natin talaga respetuhin yung mga tao na nagtatrabaho sa hospital.Kasi hindi lang tayo ang napu-pressure at alam natin na kailangan immediately tayo, kailangan tulungan. Pero kasi sila, ganun din. Hindi nila pwedeng unahin or tinitignan nila kung sino yung priority na dapat tulungan. Halimbawa, mamamatay na. Yun, syempre, kailangan uunahin. Ipapasok na agad sa emergency at kailangan na surgery. Pero dun sa mga emergency...na merong pilaan, kailangan pa rin tayo pumila. At kailangan din natin respetuhin ang mga tao na nag-work nga sa hospital. Even yung mga tumutulong lang din sa atin, alam nyo ba yung mga tumutulong sa atin na tumutulak sa wheelchair? Mga voluntary lang mga sila. Hindi sila mismo yung nag-a-arrange ng sino yung mauuna patingin sa atin. Kaya huwag tayong magagalit sa kanila, no? Kailangan pa rin natin magpakita na very thankful tayo, na tinutulungan tayo, at magpapasalamat tayo lagi sa kanila. Kaya kung narinig ninyo merong nangyari na very rude o kaya merong violence sa hospital na pagtuturing natin sa kanila, might be mapunishment tayo ng 30 to 50,000 NTP. Kasi pwede nila tayo kasuhan. Kasi wala silang ginagawang masama sa atin. Which is siguro dahil lang sa paghihintay or hindi natin maintindihan yung language nila at nagkaroon tayo ng language barrier. Alam nyo, pwedeng sino yung tawagan para matulungan kayo dito sa language barrier natin. Pwede tayo tumawag agad sa 1-955 para humingi ng translation service sa 1-955 at maging malinaw yung pagkakausapan ninyo. Pero wag na wag tayo na magpapakita ng walang modo, walang galang, walang respeto sa mga medical staff. Okay ba? Kahit saan tayo pumunta, dapat ganun ang ating attitude. Kailangan tayo magpasalamat, magpakita ng pagsasalamat natin sa mga medical staff. Bukod doon, another kailangan namin din i-remind sa mga kababayan natin. Kasi marami ngayon sa mga social media, makikita nyo na merong mga link o kaya sa mga group chat niyo meron kayong makikitang nagsisend sa inyo ng link. Yung link na yon delikado kasi hindi natin alam kung meron silang virus o kaya baka yan ay scammers na pagka-click niyo at naibigay nyo yung mga information natin sa kanila, might be my scam tayo. Or kaya pakinggan po natin, no? Katulad ng mga one-page ad, scam logistics companies paying fraudulent ad fees for scammers. Recently, many logistics and warehousing companies are suspected of using cash on delivery collection services to pay collection services to pay high advertising fees and place fraudulent one-page advertisements. These ads often attract clicks with weight loss products, jade bracelets, tea, or honey. However, after placing a cash on delivery order, people receive scam packages. Do not click on unknown one-page ads. Be especially suspicious of products advertised as super cheap, limited time offers, or cash on delivery deals. If you suspect fraud, call the 165 anti-fraud hotline. If you require interpretation services, call the 1-855 hotline. Ito yung mga nakikita natin na one-page ads na parang na-compare natin ito sa mga ibang website at nakita ninyo ay napakamura or meron silang mga limitation na halimbawa within 5 minutes dapat i-order mo na at mawawala na yung discount, yung mga ganyang klaseng ads. O kaya sasabihin nila cash on delivery para at least hindi kayo maloko dahil pag-deliver na, saka kayo lang magbabayad. Yung mga ganyan klaseng advertisement ay napakadelikado kasi karamihan dyan ay mga scam na pwedeng kayong lokohin tapos after nyo magbayad sa kanila, mawawalan sila kagad. Pag meron tayong ganyan na encounter na situation, tawag kagad tayo sa 165 at kung halimbawa kailangan nyo ng translation service, pwede tayo tumawag sa 1-955 at or pwede nyo i-request sa 165 na pwede ba kayo mismo, sila kamo mismo na tumawag sa 1-955 para humingi ng translation service para sa atin. Okay ba? Dahil itong 165, ito yung anti-fraud hotline. Kung kayo'y merong mga na-scam o kaya nakareceive kayo ng calls or any scam through online, pwede kayo tumawag dito sa 165. At tandaan po natin kung kailangan natin ng police hotline, meron kayong nakitang criminal case or sa situation natin mismo, kailangan natin tumawag ng police, ang hotline ay 110. At kung may nakita naman tayong mga fire accident or ambulance na kailangan natin ng tulong, ang tatawagan natin ay 119. Okay ba? So, itong mga binabanggit ni Kaibigan Joy ay napaka-importante na habang tayo nandito sa Taiwan, dahil ito yung mga hotline na kailangan natin malaman. Ito yung pag-emergency. Hindi natin lagi ito alam, no? Pero pag once nagkaroon ng emergency, dapat alam natin sino yung tatawagan natin kagad. Okay ba? Balik tayo dito sa ating programang Feel at Home Ka Dito. Mapapakinggan yung aming programa every Sunday ng 6 to 7. Replay time ay 9 to 10. Hanapin nyo lang sa AM 1323 sa Taipei, AM 621 sa Taoyuan, at AM 1206 sa Hsinchu. Meron din kaming hotline ng tawag ay 1955. Yan po ay 24 hours consultation and complaint hotline. At yung fanpage namin sa Facebook, tawag ay Feel at Home Ka Dito ni Kaibigan Jay. At ito pong programa namin ay handog sa inyo ng Ministry of Labor, Workforce Development, Agency Abino ng Taiwan Broadcasting Company. Cuando yo la vi, dije si esa mujer fuera para mí, perdóname, te lo tenía que decir, está dura, 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 dura.
Ito ang nilalaman ng mga sasabihin.
Itong sa loob nating isang oras na programa, ang mapapakinggan ho nating mga policy at regulations. Una-una po, number one, mini electric two-wheel vehicle, question and answer. Number two, families that employ foreign caregivers can also use long-term care services. Number 3, mga items na bawal idalin dito sa Taiwan. Number 4, every year of May, it's our responsibility to pay our tax. Number 5, making sustainable improvements to pedestrian safety.
Kaya itong mga maririnig ho nating policy at regulations ay pinaka-updated na ho na galing sa Ministry of Labor. Kung kayo ay meron pang gusto malaman more than this, pwede ho natin bisitahin ang website ho ng Ministry of Labor sa fw.wda.gov.tw. Pwede nyo rin ho i-add ang 1855 e-line. I-search nyo lang sa line application ang 1855 MW_PH. at i-add nyo lang ho siya sa friend list natin, sa huli, huwag nyo kalimutan mag-register. Meron tayong regularly na makakatanggap ng mga notifications na napaka-importanting reminders para ho sa atin. Kaya huwag ho kayo aalis, pakinggan lang itong aming programa sa Feel at Home Ka Dito.
You receive a summons from the courts. What do you need to know when you go to courts? Welcome to this segment on victims and criminal litigation. Let us answer your questions. Understanding the summons. When the court starts a criminal trial, they may summon victims or their family members to state their opinions. After receiving the summons, which parts should you pay particular attention to? First, you should note the contact details of the court and the clerk in charge. Once you're at the courthouse, you'll give your case number to court personnel so they can check on your case. As to the case summary, this refers to the type of criminal litigation on the basis of the facts. The time of arrival indicates the time the proceedings are scheduled to begin. Note the location of the proceedings, including the courtroom number. To avoid going to the wrong place on that day, the branch ID is the branch the court has appointed to hear your case. The type of session reveals what the court is prepared to do on the court date. The most common sessions are preliminary proceedings and trial proceedings. When the case comes to court, the preliminary proceedings will begin, and the court will confirm if the defendant has admitted guilt in the answer to the complaint, and whether they have appealed to investigate the investigation evidence. After the preliminary proceedings have concluded, a date will be chosen for the trial, with cross-examinations and oral arguments, where each side will present their case. If the court needs you to present related evidentiary documents, they will list them in the notes section. What should I do if I can't attend court on the designated date? If the summons doesn't say that you must attend court, you can call and ask the court if you can provide a written statement instead. If you're also the complainant, you can hire an agent ad litem to present your statement in court for you. If the court wishes you to attend court in person, you must do so. If you have a valid reason for your absence, you can provide evidence to the court and request a date change. I'm afraid of appearing in court. Will they release my personal information? Don't be concerned. The court will protect the victim's privacy. You may also apply for appropriate devices to prevent being seen by the accused or any attendee. Going to court by myself is scary. Can I get someone to go with me? Of course you can. You can bring a statutory agent, a family member, a trusted friend, or a counselor to court with you. Attached to the court summons will be a notification of your rights so that you can understand your rights in the litigation and the procedures and know what you can request from the prosecutor. People with disabilities can also ask the court for assistance. Preparing for court. The day you are set to appear in court arrives. If the court has agreed to remote proceedings, please refer to the Remote Court Proceedings Handbook in advance. For more information, you can scan the QR code in the top left corner. The courtroom is a solemn place, so if you do attend in person, please take care to dress appropriately to show you take your own rights seriously. On that day, remember to bring the summons, your ROC ID card or other identification, and any documents listed on the summons. Ideally, you should register your attendance at the court early, giving yourself time to find the courtroom. Please make use of public transportation when possible. Don't forget to log in a bit early if it's a remote proceeding. There are two ways to register your arrival at court: at the counter or the check-in kiosk. After you have registered and arrived at the appointed court, wait for the court attendant to call you in. If it's not your turn yet, you can either stay outside in the waiting area or sit in the public gallery inside your appointed courtroom and listen to the current session. If the appointed time arrives and your case hasn't been called yet, the previous case may have gone over on time. Like hospital clinics, Courts hear several cases every day, so please be patient. You can check the progress of the previous case on the court's website or on the LCD monitors outside the court. After entering the courtroom, please remain silent and be respectful. Court procedures and your rights. Private recordings of sound, images, or photographs are not permitted inside the courtroom. Now I'll take you on a tour of the courtroom. At the front is the judge's bench. Below the judge are the court clerk and the court interpreter. In the center is the witness stand. The victim and the prosecutor are on the right. The accused and their agent ad litem are on the left. Witnesses and other relevant persons are in the spectator gallery waiting to testify. When called upon, enter the seat designated for the victim. Please raise your hand. You may speak with the judge's permission. During the trial, you can request that the prosecutor apply to the court for perpetuation or investigation of evidence to ensure that the evidence is not destroyed, and for the court to verify the veracity of the evidence. In court, you can give your own opinion. During the sentencing process, you can pass your opinion on to the prosecutor to uphold your rights. If the defendant also has civil restitution to make as a result of their crime, the victim can also file an ancillary civil suit at the first or second instance. If the court summons you to appear in court as a witness, you can request an allowance from the court for travel and expenses. If you're dissatisfied with the verdict, you can ask the prosecutor to appeal within 20 days of receiving the verdict. If you and the defendant are both willing, you can apply for mediation or enter the restorative justice process. The court will then arrange the case to be handed over for mediation, or will arrange for a professional organization to get the two parties to engage in a discussion. Hearing the other party reflect on the consequences of their behavior, apologize, and propose a form of restitution can be comforting and healing psychologically for you and your relatives. If you want to find out details of court dates and whether the defendant was granted bail in a timely fashion, you can apply to use the Platform for Victims' Access to Information of Criminal Litigation, and the court will inform you by email. Issues the victim should be aware of during litigation. If the crime involved is of a certain category, you can apply to participate in the litigation. After getting permission from the court, you can enjoy the following privileges. You can choose a lawyer as your agent ad litem to assist in your participation in the case. In addition, indigenous people or middle to low income households can request that the court appoint a lawyer for free. You may request that your lawyer examine the case archive and exhibits and make transcripts, copies, or photographs of them. The court will inform you of the court dates, and you can choose whether or not to attend. In the preparation stage, you can express your opinion on the proceedings. On the day the verdict is handed down, you can express your opinion on the evidence presented. So, who can apply to participate in the litigation? Any victim may apply. If the victim cannot apply due to illness, death, or limited legal capacity, a statutory agent or family member can apply on their behalf. If you would like to apply, please scan the QR code below to download the application form. Going to court is not as difficult as you might imagine. So let's protect our rights together.
Simula po nung una, hindi na maintindihan nararamdaman. Naging magkaibigan, ngunit di umabot ang magkaibigan. Tanga ko yun noon, kampante na ganun na lang. Sapat na nakasama kita, kahit hanggang dun na lang. Di na lang ako lalapit, di na lang titingin para hindi. Sa iyong mga mata, siguro nga ano pa, mahal na pa. ako sa'yo. Oo, di naman inaasahan, di naman sinasadya, pero alam ko rin naman hanggang dito na lang. Hindi mo tinanggang damin, sisigaw na lang sa hangin, mahal kita.
Mga kababayan, kayo ba ay meron pang mga questions dito sa mini two-wheel electric vehicle? Itong mga question and answer na babanggitin ni Kaibigan Jay ay ito yung mga mostly na mga tinatanong ho ng mga lahat ng mga kababayan ho natin. Kaya pakinggan lang ho natin. So number one, where do I apply for a mini electric two-wheel vehicle license plate? The answer is, a license plate can be applied for at any motor vehicle office. Question number two, what documents do I need to apply for a mini electric two-wheel vehicle license plate? How much does an application cost? The answer is, the national ID or alien residence certificate of the vehicle owner. Another one is, a compulsory auto liability insurance certificate with a minimum validity of 30 days. Another one is vehicle certificate of manufacturer. Another one is invoice of purchase. The last one is cost. License plate around $300 NT dollar. and the vehicle license is $150 NT. So yun yung mga kailangan ho natin i-prepare para ho magkaroon tayo ng license plate. Question number 3. Where does a vehicle owner purchase compulsory auto liability insurance? The answer is, insurance can be obtained from any property insurance company. Question number 4. Is there a minimum age requirement to drive a mini electric two-wheel vehicle? Does the driver have to wear a crash helmet? The answer is, any age 14 years or older can drive a mini electric two-wheel vehicle. A crash helmet must be worn when driving. Question number 5. The speed limit for mini electric two-wheel vehicle is 25 km/h. Can vehicles be modified to go quicker? The answer is, modifying the electric controller or original settings of mini electric two-wheel vehicles is strictly forbidden. Anyone found to be in violation of this provision will be fined $5,400 and ordered to restore the original settings. Kaya kung kayo ay meron pang mga katanungan regarding dito sa mini electric two-wheel vehicles, question and answer, pwede ho tayo bumisita sa website ng fw.wda.gov.tw or pwede rin tayo mag-search sa website ng Road Traffic Safety Portal Sites. Okay? At itong susunod namin i-announce para ito sa mga families that employ foreign caregivers can also use long-term care services. Mga kababayan, itong policy na ina-announce ho na gusto ho paalam sa inyo ng Ministry of Labor, halimbawa tayo ay gusto natin magpaalam sa employer natin na gusto natin magbakasyon sa Pilipinas. Ito ay kailangan ho payagan tayo ng employer natin. During this period na wala ho tayo sa bahay na mag-aalaga dun sa alaga natin, pwede ho ang employer natin humingi ng service sa long-term care services. So, dependent ito sa mga status ng bawat family na kung halimbawa sila ay qualified na humingi ng tulong sa long-term care services, so makakakuha sila ng temporarily na caregiver para ho alagaan yung kanilang parents. Kaya pakinggan lang ho natin ito. In accordance with the provisions of the Employment Service Act, during the period of their employment, contracted foreign workers can apply for leave to return to their home country, and the employer must agree. If an employer refuses to give a foreign worker leaves because there is no one to look after the care recipient, the foreign worker should explain to the employer that he or she is eligible to use government long-term care resources. Kaya narinig ho ninyo ang policy na nakalagay, the employer must agree dahil nga ho tayo ay nagbo-work sa ibang bansa at medyo matagal na rin ho tayo hindi nakaka-uwi ng sarili nating bahay dahil nga ho nangyari ang COVID. Kung halimbawa tayo ay gusto natin magpaalam at gusto natin umuwi ho ng Pilipinas ng sandali, mag-file lang ho ng leave, pinaka-maximum nga ho ang pwede nating i-apply sa immigration ng re-entry ay 1 month. So kung halimbawa kayo nga ho ay nagre-request ng ganyan sa employer ninyo at hindi ho kayo pinayagan, huwag niyo ho rin kalimutan, pwede niyo sila i-file ng complaint sa 1-855. At during this period, kung halimbawa nga ho dahil kaya ayaw nila pumayag sa atin na mag-file ng leave dahil nga siguro walang mag-aalaga dun sa kanilang parents, so pwede ho natin i-offer sa kanila, sa mga employers natin, sabihin natin sa kanila na pwede silang tumawag sa 1-966. Yan, 1-966, dun ho yan sa long-term care services. So, pwede ho sila humingi ng tulong sa long-term care services at depende ho sa kanilang status. Yung iba ay nakakakuha ng libre at yung iba naman ay merong mga certain discount na hindi masyadong mahal sila mag-hire ng isang temporary na caregivers para alagaan ho yung kanilang parents. Malinaw po ba? For more information, pwede ho tayo tumawag sa 1-955, mag-inquire ho sa kanila, or humingi ng consultation ho sa 1-855. Ito ho ay 24 hours or pwede rin kayong mag-message sa 1-855 staff sa live chat customer service. Another announcement din ito sa mga kababayan natin, remind lang po namin sa inyo dahil marami na hong mga kababayan natin na nagta-travel dito sa Taiwan. So, hindi lang syempre yung mga nag-work dito at kasama na din yung mga nagtutour lang po papunta dito sa Taiwan. Basta tandaan lang ho natin, merong mga kamag-anak ninyo or friends ninyo ay nagpaplano pumunta dito sa Taiwan, pwede po ba pakisabi din sa kanila na kung halimbawa, bringing or sending these products to Taiwan can result in a fine of up to 3 million NT dollar. Kasama na dito ay number 1, fresh or processed meat products at fresh plant products, vegetables, fruits, or plants. Another one is pet-related products which contain animal ingredients. Another one is propagable plant products, seeds, roots, or bulbs. At milk and egg and living insect, wood, soil, growing media. So, itong mga items na naibanggit ni Kaibigan Jay dito sa atin lahat, especially dun sa mga meat or any fresh food, ay bawal po magdala dito sa loob ng Taiwan. Just in case na meron po kayong nahuli or gusto nyo i-surrender yung mga items ninyo, pwede tayo tumawag dito sa notification hotline sa 0800-039-131. Ulitin ko po. Kung halimbawa meron kayong nakitang mga foreigner or kakilala natin na gusto nating i-report sila na kasi meron silang mga dala ganitong items, pwede nyo i-report dito sa hotline sa 0800-039-131. Every year of May, bukod dun sa, syempre may Mother's Day tayo every May, buwan ng Mayo, ang pinaka-importante naman dito sa Taiwan ay, alam mo anong panahon to? Ay paying our tax. Ito yung mga income tax natin, kung ano yung mga tax na dapat po bayaran sa government. Itong May na to. Sasabihin ko po sa lahat ng mga kababayan natin, no? Basta po tayo merong trabaho dito sa Taiwan, required tayo magbayad ng tax. Kaya maski na binibilang natin yung 183 days, less than 183 days, or more than 183 days. Depends lang yan sa percentage ng babayaran natin. Pero tayo, lahat ay kailangan po magbayad ng tax. Okay, ganito po yan. Explain ko lang po sa inyo ha, para medyo mas malinaw tayo. Katulad nga kanina, sinabi ko sa inyo, tayo po, basta nagtatrabaho dito sa Taiwan, maski na less than 183 days ka pa lang dito sa loob ng isang taon, or more than 183 days ka na dito sa loob ng isang taon. Ang naiba lang dyan ay si ganito. Ang count po ng tax ay every year yan. So, ang bilang po ng tax ay kung kailan kayo nagsimula magtrabaho dito sa Taiwan. Ibig sabihin nun, yung araw na nagsimula ka na nagtatrabaho, ibig sabihin meron na tayo nun income. Meron na tayong sahod, salary. So, halimbawa tayo nagsimula, pumasok tayo dito sa Taiwan ng May. Halimbawa lang, hanggang end of this year, 2018, December 31, means lumampas po tayo ng 183 days. Pero kung halimbawa naman ay dumating ka dito ng around end of June or July, tapos bilangin mo yung simulang araw mo, nagtrabaho ka hanggang 2018, December 31. So, yung panahon na yon ay siguradong less than 183 days. Okay? So, yung 183 days, dun po yan nag-base. Kung tayo ba ay lumampas na ng half of year. So, yun ang galing ng 183 days. Okay, so magsimula po tayo dun sa mga less than 183 days. Katulad nga kanina, sinabi ko, kung halimbawa kayo ay lumampas na ng around July, August, September, October, November, December. Ganon. Ang pagka-count po nun ay i-check nyo ang inyong basic salary times 1.5. So, kung halimbawa mga kababayan natin nagtatrabaho sa factory, example lang po, so ang basic salary natin is 22,000, di ba ho? Kaka-increase lang po yun. Basic salary 22,000 times 1.5 equals 25,920. Kung ang ating salary ay more than that, magbabayad po tayo ng tax around 18%. So, kung halimbawa ang salary mo, sinabi ko nga, more than 25,920, sabihin na natin 30,000. Itatayos nyo po yung 30,000 yung sahod ng 18%. So, yung amount po nun, yun po ang babayaran natin tax for the year of 2018. At ang babayaran natin sa 2019 ng May, ang tax na babayaran natin ng 2018. Okay ba? Malinaw po ba? Doon naman po sa less than 183 days pa din, kung ang salary mo ay hindi ka lalampas ng 25,920, ang babayaran yung tax ay times 6%. Tandaan nyo kanina, kung lumumpas tayo ng 25,920, ang ating tax na babayaran ay salary times 18%. Pero pag less than 25,920, ang babayaran natin tax ay is salary times 6%. Ang sinasabi ko pong salary dito ay yung inyong basic plus yung mga meron tayong overtime, yung total ng inyong nakalagay sa payslip. Doon nyo po yun ibabase kung tayo ay lumampas ba ng 25,920 or hindi tayo lumampas ng 25,920. So, yung isa, pag tayo lumampas, malaki-laki ang ating kita at marami tayong overtime, ang babayaran natin tax ay 18%. Pero kung halimbawa konti lang yung overtime natin at same pa lang din ang ating salary, minimum pa rin ay 22,000, ang babayaran natin ay salary times 6% lang. Okay ba? Pero doon naman po, sa more than 183 days, okay, doon sa mga kababayan natin na pumasok dito sa Taiwan simula noong January, February, March, April, May, June. Mga more than 183 days na yan sigurado. Ang babayaran po natin tax ay salary times 5%. Pareho lang po sa local people. Kasi maski ako, nagbabayad din po ako ng tax, ng income tax ko ng times 5%. So lahat po ng tao, basta lumampas ng 183 days dito sa Taiwan, ang binabayad po nilang tax ay same lang din po sa local people. Okay, hindi po dahil kayo ay foreigner, kaya malaking tax sinisingil sa inyo. Kaya ganun. Pero makikita nyo, siguradong iisipin nyo, bakit ang aking agency, or bakit ang aking employer, or bakit ang aking broker, mas malaki pa dun sa 18% ang binabayad ko? Bakit yung aking binabayaran na tax na ay sobra-sobra? Ganito po yan, explain ko lang po sa mga kababayan natin na bakit sobra-sobra yung mga sinisingil nila. Kasi po, kaya nila sinusobra ang pagbabayad ng tax ninyo as long as walang ginagawang kalokohan yung employer or amo nyo at nakikita nyo naman dun sa inyong tax statement na ganun talagang amount ang binayad nila. So, ibig sabihin, lahat po ng perang yon ay pumasok sa tax bureau. Okay. Bakit ganun kalaki ang binabayad nila? Parang more than 18%, minsan more than 20% na tax na binabayad ninyo. Kasi po, minsan, hindi natin masisigurado na tayo ay, halimbawa, hindi natin naitapos yung contract natin, at halimbawa, meron tayong biglang emergency, kailangan umuwi sa Pilipinas, at nag-break na tayo ng contract, dun sa mga early termination, early break ng contract, dun sa mga kababayan po natin yun. Kung tayo ay napapauwi na sa Pilipinas, pinauwi sa Pilipinas, o kaya kailangan umuwi sa Pilipinas, yung panahon na kailangan mo magbayad ng tax na sinasabi ko nga sa inyo ng every May of the year, late na kasi tayo nagbabayad ng tax. Pero kung halimbawa, kayo ay napabiglaan umuwi sa Pilipinas, yung babayaran yung tax, yung babayaran yung bill for the tax, ay mapapapunta yun sa inyong employer, either yung agency or broker ninyo. Kaya para po ma-prevent nila na sila ang magbabayad, ang ginagawa nila ay naniningil na lang sila ng above of that, mas malaki dun sa tamang tax na binabayaran ninyo. Kaya lagi po tayo merong nag-exceeding na nare-refund na tax. Dun sa mga nagre-refund na tax na yon, yun po ang tinatawag natin na overpaid na kayo ng tax sa government, kaya yun ay nare-refund. But not necessarily na tayo ay meron laging tax mare-refund. Kasi yung sinabi ko sa inyo ng 18%, at saka yung 6%, at saka yung 5% na yun, yun po talaga kailangan natin bayaran sa government. Okay? Whether you want it or not, kailangan tayo magbayad ng tax sa government. Natatandaan nyo po ba? Kaya wag po kayo magulat kung halimbawa ang nakalagay dun sa tax statement na binigay sa atin ng agency natin o broker natin ay more than 18% or minsan more than 6% or more than 5%, ganyan. Kasi pinre-prevent lang nila na halimbawa kayo ay mapauwi sa Pilipinas ng biglaan, ang bill sila ang magbabayad. So, kawawa naman sila kung sila yung magbabayad ng tax mo. Kaya ang ginagawa nila, laging more than that ang sinisingil ng mga agency or employer. Pero as long as yun perang, exceeding perang yun, ay napapunta sa tax bureau, huwag po kayo mag-alala, i-refund po yun ng tax bureau sa inyo. Okay po? Kung halimbawa, mga ibang kababayan natin ay hindi pa nakukuha ang tax refund natin, usually ang tax refund natin dumadating around from July to December, kung halimbawa kayo ay magpapa-refund. Siguradong end of the year, halimbawa ngayon ay 2018, ang marirefund yung tax ay yung 2017 na tax. Pero sa after ng July, August, September, October, November, December, sa kanyo lang po marireceive yung pagre-refund sa inyo ng tax. Kaya wag po tayo magpanic. Kasi iniisip nyo bakit nakaraan na ng isang taon, hindi pa rin kayo nakakakuha. Tingnan nyo po kung anong year at kung lumampas na ba ng June yung date, yung panahon. Kasi sa simula July hanggang December, lahat po yan ay possible. Yung panahon na yon ay yun yung panahon na yon na nare-refund ang mga tax ninyo. Kaya wag po tayo magpapanik na halimbawa October wala pa rin, November wala pa rin. Pwede po nyo yan i-check kasi lahat naman po mare-refund. As long as ang pera ay nasa tax bureau, lahat po yan ay mare-refund po sa inyo. Kung halimbawa kayo ay meron ka pang ibang katanungan, pwede tayo tumawag sa 1-855. Kasi minsan nagtatanong kayo sa inyong agency or broker pero hindi nila kayo sinasagot. Hindi niya kayo nire-respond. Yun na yung tinatawag natin na labor dispute. Hindi niya kayo tinutulungan. Eh, samantala nagbabayad kayo ng broker's fee sa kanila. Kaya pwede kayo tumawag sa 1-855 at mag-file po kayo ng complaint against yan sa mga tax ninyo. Okay po ba?
Akala ko'y habang buhay tayo, akala ko'y hanggang dulo, kaya ba parang kalsada, dito na ba tayo papapa? Kung ganito na nga ba ang usapan, kung dito na ang hangganan, dapat sigurong iwasan ang mga minsang kamustahan. Mga nakasanayan dapat nang kalimutan upang di tayo makasakitan. Hanggang dito na lang, hanggang dito na lang. Ikaw ba ang nagbago o ako o tayo?
baka tayo hanggang dito na lang. Hanggang dito na lang. Kung tunay ang paalam, huwag ka na magparamdam dahil humihirap lang. Hanggang dito na lang. Akala ko'y habang buhay ang awit. Akala ko'y hanggang langit. Kaya ba parang kantahan? Dito na ba tayo tatantahan? Kung ganito na nga ba ang tadhana? Sarang pinto at bintana. Dapat sigurong iwasan ang pagkatok sa ating nakaraan. Mga nakaugalian dapat ng pagbawalan. Sunugin na ang mga larawan. Hanggang dito na lang. Hanggang dito na lang. Ikaw ba ang nagbago? O ako? O tayo? Baka tayo hanggang dito na lang. 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 Kung tunay ang paalam, huwag ka nang magparamdam dahil humihirap lang. Hanggang dito na lang. Mga nakasanayan dapat nang kalimutan upang di tayo makasakitan. Hanggang dito na lang.
At ang susunod naman, tungkol ito sa mga kababayan natin na dumadaan sa pedestrian. Kaya pakinggan po natin, no, dahil lahat tayo dito sa Taiwan, once tayo ay tumatawid, kailangan tayo sa pedestrian lang tayo tumatawid. Kasi kung hindi, mapapenaltyan tayo. Kaya pakinggan lang po natin ito. Making sustainable improvements to pedestrian safety. To improve pedestrian safety, the government has started to promote a pedestrian-first policy. As a result, improvements are being made in road design, education, management, and enforcement. In addition, more funding is also being provided to help local governments improve dangerous road sections. Six main areas of action: improving intersections, intersections are being designed to shorten crossing distance, increase the number of pedestrian refuge islands, and eliminate blind spots, making it easier for motorists to see pedestrians, making sidewalks more pedestrian-friendly. Local proposals receive central government funding, and the public are also given an opportunity to nominate streets when improvements are required. Introducing improvements in area close to schools, inspects dangerous road sections, making and school access roads to ensure students can walk safely. Pedestrian and senior-friendly demonstration areas improve pedestrians' access routes in selected areas as models to be copied by other locations. Remove pedestrian obstacles, clear sidewalks and roadside posts or poles that force pedestrians to walk on the road. Improve safety at road intersections with no traffic signs. Increase the number of signs, road markings, and speed reduction measures so motorists know to slow down. Let's work together to make the streets and Taiwan safe, reliable, and convenient walking spaces, the improved pedestrian right of way, and reduce accidents. Mapapansin ninyo, maraming ginawa ang government para lang malaman ng tao dito sa pedestrian at dumaan lang dito sa pedestrian. Kaya tuloy ang mga tao, alam nila kung saan sila dapat dumaan. Hindi lang nila pinapalinaw kung saan dapat ang tao dumaan, kung hindi talagang pinapa-easier nila para lang mas gusto ng mga tao dumaan dito sa pedestrian. Napapansin nyo ba? Kaya tuloy dito sa Taiwan, doon ako natutuwa dahil alam nila paano sumunod ang mga tao at paano din mag-follow ang mga tao sa policy, lalong-lalo na sa mga traffic rules. At kung halimbawa, itong mga changes na to, hindi pa rin sumusunod ang mga tao, andito na mangyayari ang mga penalty. At syempre, mabigat din ang mga penalty kasi binibigyan na nga tayo ng convenient ng government tapos hindi pa rin tayo nakikinig. Talagang magkakaroon tayo ng malaki at mabigat na penalty. Kaya din ang mga tao sumusunod dahil po dito. Sana ang government natin din sa Pilipinas maging katulad din dito.
Let me teach you some Mandarin Chinese. When your employer speaks too fast or when you can't hear clearly, you can say, 可以再说一遍吗? To ask the employer to repeat himself or herself, repeat after me. 可以再说一遍吗? When your employer asks for your help, you may ask, 我可以怎么做? To learn more about the work, repeat after me. 我可以怎么做? When you have completed your work, you can say, 我完成了. To tell your employer you have finished the job, repeat after me. 我完成了. Let us recap the three useful sentences we learned today. 可以再说一遍吗? 我可以怎么做? 我完成了. If you have any language problems, please call 1-955 Foreign Workers Free Hotline. Our consultants will provide interpreting services. For more information about working in Taiwan and Mandarin Chinese learning materials, please visit Taiwan Workforce Development Agency information site.
以上节目与广告是由劳动部劳动力发展署委托制播的菲律宾 Tagalog 语广播节目《宾至如归，飞向马尼拉》。感谢收听，下次空中再会。
Ang programang Feel at Home kadito ay handog ng Ministry of Labor Workforce Development Agency at binuo ng Taiwan Broadcasting Company, Ping Chi Ru Kui, Feixiang Manila. Maraming salamat po sa pakikinig ninyo.